Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I have to tell you that I had planned on starting a series today, preaching a different message today, and woke up early this morning for something and laying in the bed trying to go back to sleep, and I just felt like that the Lord had something different for us. And so, you know, the Lord always knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I know that I have the right message this morning, at least for one person. That would be me. But maybe God would speak to you also. So let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it speaks into our hearts and lives today. And ask you, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit, that you would truly change lives today. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in us, Lord. Draw us closer. Oh, Father, I pray that you bring us to that place of total commitment before you to live our lives to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a lot of talk today in our time about goals and dreams and success and vision. And all of those things are good things and are certainly scriptural in the right context, but sometimes we just need to refocus on the things that are really important. What's really important is, if we're not careful, our goals and our success become more about what we want than what God wants. 2 Corinthians 5:9, Paul says this: we make it our goal to please Him. I want to challenge you today to make it your goal to please Him. You might have a lot of other goals in life. You might have other ambitions and things that you desire, and even godly things, good things that you want to see happen in your life. But this one goal should take precedence over all others. That my goal is to please Him. I want to challenge you to do that today, to make it your goal to please the Lord, to please Him in everything that you do. If we really get a hold of this, I will tell you it will absolutely change your life, transform your life. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. It'll certainly change the way you act, the way you treat other people, if our goal truly is to please the Lord. Live in a world where most people just live to please themselves. Even a lot of churchgoers, they really are just living to please themselves. And we got to be honest with ourselves and say, do we really even consider what the Lord wants in our day-to-day decisions? And do we follow through with that? Or do we just think about what we want? I want to challenge you to live a life that pleases the Lord. Make it your goal in life. It ought to be the highest goal of our life. Revelation 4:11 in the King James says, "Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I believe that we were created for His pleasure. That's why He made us, is for His pleasure. And when we do the thing that we were created to do, that's when we find real joy. That's when we find real peace in our life. That's when we find the greatest fulfillment in our life, is when we're doing the thing that we were created for, and that is to please the Lord. That ought to be our goal. You know, we call Him Lord. Lord is not another term that simply means God. Lord means master. We are His servants. And as the servants of the Lord, our goal should be to please Him. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Who is it that hears those words? It's not the person that does what they want. It is the one who lives their life to please the Lord. "Well done, good and faithful servant. That should always be our goal every day in every situation and circumstance. I want to please the Lord. You know, as always, Jesus is the perfect example. He sets the bar pretty high. But all who follow Jesus should desire to be like him. In John 8:29, Jesus says, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." None of us are there. None of us can say that. But it ought to be our goal. It ought to be the desire of our heart that we want to always please the Lord. Jesus said, "I always do what pleases him." He didn't just do as he pleased, but he pleased the Father. And if we're going to follow Jesus and learn his way of life, be his disciple, then it ought to be our goal to please the Father. You know, if you need a little added motivation this morning, we're just going to read on. Our key verse is 2 Corinthians 5:9. We make it our goal to please him. But we're just going to read on into the next verse. It says, "Whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, you need to know, as a born-again, blood-washed child of God, you will not be at the great white throne judgment where those who have rejected Jesus will be judged. But you will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says it very plainly here. You will appear at the judgment seat of Christ and be given what is due you. You will be judged for reward. And let me tell you something. We want to please him in this life because in eternity, it's going to matter. And, you know, in eternity, not everybody receives the same reward. I don't know where people get some of these strange ideas about eternity and about heaven because they don't come from the Bible. In eternity, we're going to be rewarded according to what we have done in this life. And let me tell you, a great reward will be for those who please the Lord, not just do what they want. But I hope that that is not your only motivation for pleasing the Lord. As I got to tell you, when I think about the one who died for me, the one who gave it all for me, the one who paid such a price. The Bible says we were bought with a price. We are not our own. We belong to him. I'm telling you, when I think about the Savior who loved me so much, I want to please him, not because of a reward in heaven, but just because I love him. Oh, that ought to be our motivation every day, every moment of every day, that we love him and we want to please our Savior. You know, a lot of the verses that I'm sharing with you this morning, I'm sharing from the NIV because in the King James, it uses the word acceptable. And in our day and time, our generation, the word acceptable just means okay. It means good enough. But when it comes to pleasing the Lord, we don't just want acceptable, get by, or good enough. In fact, there's too much of that in Christianity today. It's not what would really please the Lord or what would really glorify God, but it's, well, you know, what do we have to do? What's good enough? And I can assure you, that was not what was in Paul's heart. That was not what was in Jesus' heart when he said, "I always do what pleases him." He wasn't saying, "I always do what's good enough." No. He was talking about more than that. And I hope that you get that this morning, that you make it your goal to please him. You know, that's how you live a life without regret. Anybody got any regrets? Some of you think of something 10, 20 years ago. How about this week? Got any regrets from this past week? Something that you did, something that you said, something that you posted, maybe? You see, when you type out that post and you get to the end of it, before you click send, you say, what would please the Lord? Before you say it, you say, what would please the Lord? I'm telling you, it will absolutely change you. But to make it our goal to please Him, if we're really going to do that, we got to live each day. It's the choices throughout our day. You see, if you're going to live a life to please the Lord, it may start from the time that you get up out of bed, because I want to tell you something. It pleases the Lord when you have time for Him. I don't think it pleases the Lord when we are so busy with a thousand other things that we don't have time for the Lord. If you're going to please the Lord, well, you might even, some of you are going to think I'm just being weird or silly, but I'm just telling you the truth. It might even affect what you wear that day. Because I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what's in style or what the world says. Sometimes people wear some things that aren't pleasing to God. I figured it was going to get real quiet when I said that. Preacher's clothesline preaching. I'm talking about pleasing God. We're living in a time when they say anything goes, but I don't think it does with God. And our intention and our goal ought to be to please Him. And when you're heading down the highway, and you know how it is here, crazy people. Reminds me of the little boy riding in the car with his mom. They're just driving along. The little boy said, Mom, what happened to all the jerks? She said, what are you talking about? Little boy said, well, when I was riding with Dad the other day, he kept saying, that person's a jerk, and there's a jerk, what a jerk. I'm just saying, when you're driving down the road, what would please the Lord? You get to the office, you're doing business, and you ask yourself, what would please the Lord? Young person, you're in a class, and there's the opportunity to look over on somebody else's test. What would please the Lord? Oh, here's a deduction I can take on my taxes. You know, it's a little shady. But what would please the Lord? I'm just telling you, it'll change everything if you start asking yourself this question, what would please the Lord? Got to make it our goal to please Him in our actions, our words, and even the meditation of our heart. I love this verse from Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And if we're truly making this our goal, then we need to ask ourselves at every crossroad of life, at every decision that we make, what would please the Lord? You know, it became popular a few years back to ask, what would Jesus do? And that's a great question. And I can tell you what Jesus would do. He would always please the Father. And in our choices, dealing with other people in all kinds of situations, difficult situations, maybe things that make you mad or things that are unfair, even then, what would Jesus do? But what would please the Lord? I'm telling you, it transcends the idea of just keeping religious rules. You see, we know that it's not about the letter of the law, that ours is about a relationship. But it seems like much of the time that gets relegated down to a lesser thing. Oh, we don't have to keep the law, so it doesn't really matter. I'm telling you, this is a much higher standard than the law. Jesus said that our righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees were great law keepers, and a lot of people today have their certain rules about, well, you know, this is right and that's wrong, but this goes far beyond any rules. What would please the Lord? It's not about rules. It's about a relationship and what would please the Lord. When your parents, young people, ask you to do something you don't want to do, what would please the Lord? When your kids do something stupid and you got to deal with them, what would please the Lord? It's the best question ever. Before we say something, what would please the Lord? Before we post it, before we do something, what would please the Lord? And it'll affect every area of your life if we truly desire to please the Lord. You know, every husband knows that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Listen, if you're a newlywed and you didn't know that, I'm just going to let you know. If mama ain't happy, you ain't going to be happy. And if you don't know what makes your wife happy, you better find out. Now, I've been working on it for 37 years, but I'm just telling you, you better be learning. Find out what makes your wife happy, because as a husband, you want her to be happy. And you better care enough about your relationship to find out. If our goal is to please the Lord, then certainly we need to find out what pleases the Lord. Ephesians 5:10, he says, find out what pleases the Lord. Well, that couldn't be any simpler or any clearer. Find out what pleases the Lord. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just think, oh, well, what I want must be what he wants. Do you know that's part of the pop theology of the day? That if I want it, if it makes me happy, it must be God's will? No, we need to find out what his will is. Find out what would really please the Lord. I honestly think this is one of the biggest reasons why people don't please the Lord, is because sometimes they just don't have a clue about what God wants. And so we need to find out what would please the Lord. First, if we're going to find out what would please the Lord, we got to truly turn our lives over to him. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. If we're going to please God, first and foremost, we have to be willing to truly give him our lives, to turn our lives over to him. Because if we don't do that from the heart, we will always end up doing what we want. We'll do what God wants some of the time when it lines up with what we want. But if we're going to truly please the Lord, and that's our goal, it starts here, that you got to be willing to turn your life over to him. That's a living sacrifice. And he says, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, this is true worship, is when you give your life to God. It's an old song, but it is the mantra of the generation that we live in. You can't please everyone, so you might as well please yourself. A lot of people live by that rule. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do because, you know, no matter what you do, somebody's not going to like it, so I'm just going to please myself. We certainly shouldn't live our lives to try to please everyone. But Paul said, if I should seek to please men, I should not be the servant of God. But neither should we live to please ourselves. We are the servants of God, the servants of Christ. And so we live to please Him. You can't please everybody, so just please Jesus. Because I want to tell you something. If you can please everybody else but not Jesus, you missed it. But if you please Jesus and everybody else doesn't like it, you're going to be okay. You're not going to have any regrets. I don't know anybody that ever served God and pleased the Lord that regretted it later. You can't please everybody. You might as well please Jesus. Make it your goal. But it starts with us giving our lives to Him. Verse 2, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we talked about this verse just a few weeks ago and talking about keeping it real. And I got to tell you that here's real life change is when you renew your mind with the Word of God. He says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You want to know the will of God, the will of God that would please Him? You got to renew your mind with the Word of God. Here in the Scripture, God reveals Himself to us. We can read about what pleases Him and what displeases Him. And all through the Scripture, He tells us, He speaks to us. It's there if we really want to know. Find out what pleases the Lord. If your goal is to please Him, then I encourage you to search the Scriptures, read the Scriptures. Because in almost every chapter, there will be something that the Holy Spirit will speak to you to show you what pleases the Lord. It's full of principles that when we walk in them, it's pleasing to the Lord. We're going to look at just a few passages quickly this morning about things that it tells us plainly what pleases the Lord. Faith pleases Him. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now let's just stop right there for a minute. It's one of the most amazing stories of the Bible that here this man Enoch never died. There's only two that never died, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch just walked with God, and one day the Bible says he was not. For God took him. And here in Hebrews, it tells us very plainly that it wasn't talking about that God took him because he died. It tells us that he didn't die. He didn't experience death. What an amazing thing that this man walked with God and he so pleased God that God just said, I want you up here right now. But it said that by faith, this happened. You see, if we're going to really walk with God, we got to have faith. Daily, we walk by faith. It says, and without faith, see, he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't really believe that it matters if you please the Lord. You see, if we are daily seeking God, earnestly seeking God, if we are daily running after Him with a whole heart, serving God with all that we are. I want to tell you something. There are many blessings and rewards in this life and the life to come. And if you believe that, it pleases Him. That pleases God. You see, our faith is not just that we will go to heaven someday. It's not just for the day we die. It is for living every day. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. So we live our lives trusting in Him, believing what He has said, believing that He keeps His promises. That pleases Him. You know, if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and then rose from the dead, it ought to be easy for us to believe everything else that the Scripture tells us. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? And I'm telling you that it pleases God when we believe Him, when we believe the promises of His Word. We need to believe Him for great things because He's a great God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So when we don't live by faith, I'm telling you, it is displeasing to the Lord. Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous ones will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. We can't shrink back. We can't give up on the promises of God. No, we stand on this, that God keeps his word. Live by faith. Learn to live by faith and you learn to please God. Simple obedience pleases the Lord. You know, every parent certainly should understand this. In fact, I think most children understand this, that when a child does what their parents ask them to do, it pleases the parent. And when they don't, it's displeasing. I mean, when mom says, go clean up your room, and the child goes and cleans up their room the right way, right? Not throwing everything in the closet or under the bed. It pleases her. When you go play computer games instead, it displeases her. When the Lord tells you not to repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good, and then somebody treats you wrong, and we show them kindness, that pleases the Lord. First John 3:21-22, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. First of all, I want to point out to you that there's a fantastic promise here. We have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask. But here's the condition of that promise. It tells us what pleases Him. We obey His commands and do what pleases Him. It pleases God when we just obey Him. You see, a father cannot reward disobedience. Neither can God. And the only way that we can receive all of the blessings and promises that He has for us is we obey Him and we please Him. It said, if our hearts don't condemn us. You see, we live in the generation of blame, where everybody blames everybody and everything else. We all know how to rationalize, to justify what we do or what we said. Well, they said this to me first. We all know how to make excuses. And we justify in our mind and rationalize in our mind, and we say in our mind, and we may even say out of our mouth, well, I didn't do anything wrong. But listen, our hearts know the difference. And so many people have a hard time receiving and believing the blessings and promises of God because their hearts condemn them, because they know. But when we just obey God and please Him, He says, we receive from Him anything we ask. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. It's about to get worse. A holy life pleases the Lord. He says, be holy, for I am holy. How can He tell us to be holy? Because He gives us His Holy Spirit. Don't forget the first name of the Holy Spirit. It's holy. And we all have received the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, in part so that we can live a holy life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning from verse 1, it says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Paul says, hey, we taught you guys how to live in such a way that you could please God. And he encourages them. He says, in fact, you are living. But he's going to step it up a little bit. He says, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And I want to tell you this morning, maybe you've been living a Christian life and you're serving the Lord and you love the Lord, but you know in your heart that there's a lot of times that you're not really pleasing the Lord. You're doing what you want instead of really doing what God wants. I want to encourage you to do this more and more. That you make it your goal to please Him, to live a life that pleases the Lord. Then he goes on and he says, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Now, first of all, the word sanctified here, it means that you set yourself apart from the ways of the world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to fit in and blend in. No, we're to live a holy life. He says that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. Somebody get a marker and mark that out of your Bible, because certainly people don't believe that today, do they? The Lord will punish men for all such sins. That's right. As we have told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. He called us to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject men, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live a holy life. He called us to a holy life. So before we allow something in our lives, in our homes, before we watch something, before we tell that joke, we need to ask ourselves, what would please the Lord? Is it okay for a Christian to go to an R-rated movie? Let's just settle it this way. R-rated, PG, whatever. What would please the Lord? It's amazing how that settles so many questions in life. What would please the Lord? A lot of believers today seem to want to get as close as they can to the world. They just want to get right up on the edge. I'm not doing anything wrong. Holy, sanctified. That means you want to get as close to Him as you can. This is want to get as close as I can without feeling like I fell into sin. That's a pretty low standard. Well, you know, the Bible doesn't say specifically that I can't do this. I'm just being real with you this morning. We just finished that Keeping It Real series, right? Did you know that people make a case that the Bible doesn't say you can't smoke pot? And I hear all kinds of arguments that sound a whole lot like that about why I can do this or I can do that. You know, the Bible. What would please the Lord? It's not about what we can get away with. You don't get away with anything before God who says we're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. It's what would please Him. Why would we even want? You see, if we're saying, well, the Bible doesn't say that I can't do this. Go back to Romans 12, 1. In view of the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices to Him. This is what's holy and acceptable, your spiritual worship. Give Him your life. Turn your life over to Him. See, 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not everything is helpful. Not everything is good. It's not a matter of, well, is there a specific scripture against this? That's not the question. Is it good? Is it going to glorify God? Because everything that we do ought to glorify God, not just living for ourselves. We've been bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But you see, that old sinful nature, it can't please God. Only those that are led by the Spirit can truly please God. Romans 8:8 says, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That's pretty clear. So how are we going to please God? We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We can't just react to life, our senses. We can't allow our natural or sinful human desires to direct us, but instead we got to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us so we can please God. Praise pleases Him. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It amazes me how many people just seem to be determined not to give God praise. I'm telling you, praise is not for us, it's for Him. And as such, we ought to desire to praise Him in a way that pleases Him. Here's the pop theology of the day. Well, you just praise Him however you think. I want to tell you, I want to praise Him in the way that pleases Him. It's as simple as that. And then He says, and don't forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God likes it when we give, when we share, when we are a blessing to other people. That pleases Him. It pleases Him when we give sacrificially. Philippians 4, 18 and 19 says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We like to quote verse 19. It is such a wonderful promise of God's provision, but it was spoken to those who had pleased the Lord in their giving. I want to encourage you this morning that here is the guide, here is the standard for our giving. It goes, I believe, beyond the law. Please the Lord in your giving. When you give, it is not just about how big the need is. It's certainly not about whether or not your emotional heartstrings are being pulled on, as so many people respond to. I want to tell you, there's so much manipulation when it comes to giving. Don't be manipulated in your giving. Please the Lord in your giving. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you want. It's what He wants. Just please the Lord in your giving. You do that, I'll tell you, it's all good. Just please the Lord in your giving. And there are such great benefits to those who please the Lord. We read one of them just a few minutes ago, 1 John 3:22, and we receive from Him anything we ask. I want to close with this passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning from verse 24. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Wow. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. I know that you all have desires, dreams, visions, things that you want to see happen in your life. I want to encourage you this morning. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you really live a life to please the Lord, you're not going to come up short. He's not going to shortchange you. He's not going to cheat you out of something. You won't look back on this life and say, well, I got ripped off, man. I missed out on a lot of things because I was trying to please the Lord. I want to tell you that God will bless you over and over and over if you're living a life to please Him. Make it your goal. More than anything else. Ask yourself that question again and again and again. Oh, when you feel the temperature rising, when you're under pressure, when you're in a situation, what would please the Lord? My goal is to please Him. Stand with me. We're going to pray, like for our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank You, Lord, that You hear, that You know the cry of our heart. And Father, You know what we need better than we do ourselves. And I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, that You would truly change us, Lord. Draw us near to You, Lord. Lord, every heart that reaches out to You this morning, every person that desires more of You, that desires to draw close, I pray, Father, that today, truly, they will find You. And Father, I just pray that You would help those, Lord, who are struggling with yielding, just turning it over to You. Lord, help those who maybe don't even know where to begin. Father, I pray that You would show them the way. And Father, that truly You'd be glorified in all our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I want to encourage you to come for prayer this morning if the Lord is dealing with your heart. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts this morning, dealing with hearts, and don't resist Him. Let God have His way in your heart this morning. That would please the Lord. Some of you here, I know that you've been through that doing it your way, what you want, maybe trying to make yourself happy. I want to encourage you to come and just lay it at His feet this morning. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Him. Settle it once and for all. I'm telling you, until you sell out to God, the devil will always be trying to buy you out. Settle it forever. Put yourself on the altar. Let Him have all of you. Make up your mind you're going to live to please God. Some of you are dealing with some issues of the past that have hindered you and hampered you. Turn it over to Him this morning. It's time for you to break free. I'm telling you, there's real freedom in this. So just make it your goal to please Him. However God may be dealing with you, I encourage you, come for prayer this morning. And if you have a need that you came to the service with today, we'd be glad to pray with you. So as we dismiss with the blessing this morning, you come for prayer if you want to. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.